I want to speak about a topic tonight, which is primarily a Yom Kippur topic, but still the mitzvah of Tshuva is a mitzvah still the entire year, and some of the principles that are going to be discussing are things which really go beyond the actual mitzvah of Aseres Yemei Tshuva. That's the issue of Tshuva, particularly for Chatoim, which one does b'shogeg. So, that should be the only tshuva we have to do for the various b'shoge, but we have to do tshuva for that also, so we have to understand a little bit what the nature of that is all about. So the source for the idea that even if one does a chet b'shoge, one also has to do tshuva for, really comes from the Gemara Maseches Yuma, and that's Lamed Vav Amud Bey, the first Gemara Mekomos, Tana Rabbanon, Ketzad Misvada. How does a person say vidoy on Yom Kippur? So the nusach of vidoy is avisi pashati v'chatasi. This is according to one Tana, we have to not to pass in this way. The first you say the lashon avisi, then you say the lashon pashati, then chatasi. In fact, the case with the Torah actually describes vidui on Yom Kippur. It appears in this order: Vizvada lovis kol avonos bnei Yisrael, bez kol pishem lechatosam. Tchein b'moshe woman, nosi obum refeshi v'chatoh. Divrei Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir has two psukim that seem to indicate that the order of progression is supposed to be a visi pashati and chatosi. So the Chachamim omer, the Chachamim responded to Rabbi Meir that it just can't be avonos elas donos. That the word avon has a connotation there that a person does intentionally. V'cheinu omer, hikaris and nefeshi avonabah. You see that the Torah uses the phrase avon describing someone who doesn't have ever made it. Pishon ilam meradim, that pesha is even worse than an oven. Oven means that you didn't have ever made it, but you didn't mean to do it against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You walk past McDonald's and you know you're not allowed to go into McDonald's, but you went in anyway. You're Mechal Shabbos, you talk about Shinar, but made it, but you didn't mean to cause HaKadosh Baruch Hu aggravation. That's an oven. But a pesha is even worse. The pesha is a merit, is a rebellion. V'cheinu omer, the paskim malachim, that melach moav pasha biv, yomas tifshah livna boisei. So you see that the word Pesha has the connotation of a revolt, a rebellion against the Kaddish Baruch Hu, which is the most chomedik ravera. L'chol chatosam, el ha-shkagos, the word chet means shogeg, v'cheinu omer nefesh kisechta b'shkaga. So come the chum and say, mi'achish ezvadal ezdoinis ala meradim, chozim ezvadal ha-shkagos. If you already asked the Kaddish Baruch Hu for mechila, for the more serious averos, and then at the end you get a throw in for shkagos, it's not really correct. The correct thing to do is l'kachal yom ezvada, chatos. So first you ask for the lowest level, then if you get the okay on that, then you go up the next notch of the see, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you the green light on that, then Pashat, then you go for the grand finale. So that's of course the we paskin that it's also really chatanu avinu pashanu lefanecha. So you see clear from this Gemara that there is a mitzvah of vidui for chet as ban b'shogeg. The Tanaim are just having a machlekes what the order of the vidui is supposed to be. But kuliyam alapli that when the Torah speaks about doing vidui on the sar mishalech, and when we had an av vidui on Yom Kippur after the sar mishalech, there is a mitzvah of vidui. It's the Rambam in the beginning, because Tshuva tells us that vidui is part of the Tshuva process. It's the grand finale of the Tshuva process. So obviously the halacha is that one is required to do Tshuva even for chet b'shogeg. So that's the din that everybody agrees to. The person doesn't have aver b'shogeg, so they're still required to do Tshuva. What I want to speak a little bit about tonight are some possible exceptions to this rule. Are there any situations that arise where a person does not even have to be concerned with the chet b'shogeg in any shape or form? So the sugi really begins in one of the strangest places, not in Hilchos Tshuva, not in Maseches Yuma, not in Rosh Hashanah. It starts with the Rambam in Hilchos Mechira. That the Rambam quotes the following halacha. The Rambam is really paraphrasing the sugi from Maseches Bechoros, and the Rambam adds a little bit more to it. The Rambam starts as follows, the second Maamar comes. Hamocher basal lechaver, but himself besar bechor. That's why it's doing Masechet Bechor. So I sell you meat, and I misrepresented, I made a mistake, intentionally, unintentionally, I sold you meat which was really treif, because it was bechor, so I'm a firstborn animal which has kedusha to it. So for all practical purposes, you're not allowed to use it. Or peyos venimtu tevalim, or I sold you fruit, and it turns out that it was tevel. Or yai venimtu yai nesach, I sold you wine, it turns out that it was touched by goyim. Masha ochel ochel, viach zelos adamim. So the halach is, whatever you ate, even though, let's say you ate the bechor, you ate the nevel, you ate the tab, you drank the anas, whatever the case may be, and then we realize afterwards, so I would think that I don't have to return the money to you, because Tachlis had a good dinner. So true, you didn't have a right, true, you ate the bechor, you ate the chaz, you ate the nevel, but lemaisa, you enjoyed it. So I would think that I don't have to return the money. So no, the halacha is that the mocher has to return the money. V'chein kol ha-mocher davar she'asa lacha min ha-Torah kachu dino, bein shai yisur b'kares, bein shai yisur b'la b'lvada. Always have to return the mocher, has to return the money. It's not clear as why that is. Some Rishonim say it's just a knas b'alma, that after all, I was machshel you to do an aveira, and then I should walk away with money, the chayta niskar, so I have to give you back the money. And now comes around with the following chiddush. Aval ha-mocher davar l'chaver she'israchi lasa mid'vei sofrim. Let's say I sell you something which is only also midrabanan to begin with. So did by mistake bishul hakum. So im hayu aperos kayamin machshes aperos v'not was damav. So if the food is still around, so then the person the lokech can say, listen, I don't want to eat this bishul hakum. I don't want to eat this trace of food midrabanan. So give me my money back. So then he's entitled to get his money back. The im ochlan. Let's say you already ate it. So the ena mocher. There's a mistake in it. Some print of him. So the halacha is if he already ate it, so then he does not get his money back. No, then the Ram says the Isra no is slightly different. So basically the Ram is drawing a distinction between things which are awesome in HaTorah and countless of things that are awesome in the Rabbanan. If I sell you an Isra Deraisa, so then the halacha is I have to return you the money. If I sell you something which is awesome in the Rabbanan, you already ate it, I don't have to return you the money. The question is, well, why in the world should that be so? What's it based on? So the Nesivos has the following chiddush. I'm going to put it on the Maamar Kamos, the middle of a long Nesivos. The Nesivos has the following chiddush. It thinks it's based on as follows. When I sell you something which is awesome in HaTorah, so I did a terrible thing. I was machshel you in doing an Aveira. You ended up doing an Aveira, and now you have to nebuch the tshuva for the Aveira. You have to cry in Yom Kippur for that, beside the Aveira that you ate. So, and the Mocha is going to walk away with the money. I was a chayt in Niskar. Masha Enkein says in the Nesivos, said, all I was quote unquote machshel you in was in Issa D'Rabbanan. Says in the Nesivos the following aside. When the lokeach ate the treif of food with the rabbanon, he didn't even know that he was eating treif of food. He thought that it was kosher food. Because in the Sivas, if a person does an aveira which is an issa derabbanon b'shogeg, there's no need to do tshuva for. An issa derabbanon b'shogeg is not considered to be a ma'is aveira. So therefore, it's kibbutz. I sold you kosher food. So if I sold you kosher food, you ate the food already. So then I don't have to return the money. If I sold you a tray for food min haTorah, so I did such a terrible avodah to you, I caused you to do an aveira. Now matriach to do tshuva, I have to give the money back. This is the Rabbanan is not so terrible, and no tshuva is required. That's the aside of the Nesivos. The question is, why should that be so? What's the deal? What's the lumdus behind that distinction? So it would appear that this idea that the Nesivos is claiming with Asar Rambam really has its roots in another very basic sheet of the Rambam. That's in the third of the Maamar Kamos. The Rambam is the following yisod. Anyone who doesn't listen to what the Chachamim have to say, one who violates Yisurim Derabanan, over below Sasa, he's in violation of an Issa Deraisa. That the Torah says that you have to listen to what the Chachamim say. So the Rambam understands that to mean that if a person doesn't listen to the Psak of the Chacham in any area whatsoever in Halacha, he's in violation of this Issa. And then, if you skip down a little bit, about two lines further, the first one line is the Chenek. So at the end of that line, the Rambam says, this Isra of Lo Sasser includes a whole series of different things. Echad Dvarim Shalom Doro Sanra Pi HaShemua Vein Tosher Bateh. That means if the Chachamim tell you that you have to make square tefillin, you say, no, I want to have triangle tefillin, so you're not only fulfilled the mitzvah tefillin, you're in violation of the Isra of Lo Sasser, because you're not listening to their Messiah, their Kabbalah, the Torah Sher Bateh. The Echad Dvarim Shalom Dumi Pi Daita. Let's say the Chacham don't tell you that they had a clear tradition that the din is such and such, but rather it's something that they derive based on a kavachomer, based on a binyanav, and the matzina, they dash in the pasuk an extra vav, an extra s, and they figured out, oh, this is what the Torah wants us to do. And I say, no, I beg to differ. So that's a violation of losasim and adav hashagidu l'chol yiminus malta. So far the Rambam is giving us two examples of losas. So you have to listen to the Chacham. Either they tell you they have a clear tradition that tefillin have to be black and tefillin have to be square and shechita has to be this way, etc. Or even if they tell you that we don't have a clear tradition what the halacha is, but we figured it out our own based on the drushes, based on the nidah shatani drushes behem, so you have to listen to what they say. But now the Rambam adds on a third thing. V'yecha dvarim sha'asom siyag la'torah v'lefish ma'ashatzot shmicha v'hena gizeyes v'atakonasam in hagos. Let's say the Chachamim tell you, we're going to institute an Isra of Muktzah. Now when the Chachamim instituted Muktzah, they did not misrepresent that by saying that, oh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu there's an Isra of Muktzah. It's not Halacha Moshe Mishnah, it's not Minat Torah. And the Chachamim did not tell you that Muktzah comes based on a Kavachom or a Mematzinu, etc. The Chachamim told us, Muktzah is Midrabanon, that you shouldn't come to do such and such. Or the Chachamim said that, don't put food back in the fire in Shabbos, because you may come to do such and such in Shabbos. Those are pure Yisurim Derabanan. So the Rambam says, one who violates Yisurim Derabanan is in violation of the Issa Deraisa of Lo Sasser. So the Rambam has three different types of Lo Sasser. There's Lo Sasser on Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai, because the Chacham are the ones who tell us them. There's Lo Sasser on Jerashos, and then there's Lo Sasser on Dirim Derabanan as well. So in this third part of the Rambam, look at the Lecha Mishnah on the bottom of the Maamar Kamos, So the Chamisha quotes a Ramban, where the Ramban is about 20 pages, but the Chamisha quotes one line of it, so I decided that would be better to put it in the Ma'amakamus. So Echad Advarim Shasam says the Torah, the Chamisha says the Ramban's al Hisag al Radeinu, the Ramban disagrees with the Rambam. Im Kein Kol Divrei Sofim Havi Lavi Yasei. If the Rambam is right that the mitzvah of Sosra applies to Dinim Derabanan, so in effect, anyone who moves Muktzah is in violation of Nisad Yaraisa, anyone who eats Bishalakam is in violation of the Nisad Yaraisa. That can be. For Hayalan Lahachmi Bechobile Derabanan Shehem Minat Torah, Kevin Shatara Tziva Lo Sos Mikhal Dar Vechulei. Says the Ramban, if that would be true, how could we have a principle of Sufik Derabanan Lakula? We know, we learned this last year in Bishalakam, if you have eggs in front of you and you can't tell whether the goy cooked or the Jew cooked, is he allowed to eat it? Suffik Derabanan Lakula, Suffik Bishalakam. Bakula. According to the Rambam, how can you eat it? That's like Suffolk Chazir, Suffolk Nevela, Suffolk Trefa, that's Suffolk of Lo Sosor. So this is the Ramban's basic taina against the Rambam. So what's Pshat in the Shittas of Rambam? So basically what the Acharonim explain, Sivas has this, and the Meshech Chochmah has this, the whole group of Acharonim across the board have the following aside, that the Rambam understands as follows. When the Torah says that you have to listen to the Chachamim, and you have to listen what the Chachamim say, even when they institute Dinim Derabanan, what that means is as follows. The Meshech Chochmah and Chumash gives the following mashal. Let's say the king makes a gezeira. The king makes a rule that everybody has to stand on their head. So the halach is, you have to stand on your head. And if you don't stand on your head, you're a moed b'malchus. Kosh yamr spicha yumas, yichayev misa, gemalch. You have to listen to what the king says. So comes the Meshech Chochmah and says, what does that mean? Does that mean that there's something inherently important with standing on your head? Or the king makes a gezeira that nobody's allowed to sit down on Tuesday afternoon at 2 o'clock. Does that mean if I sit down in a chair at 2 o'clock, I did something which is inherently wrong? No, says the Meshech Chochmah. But what it means is, the Torah wants that we should respect the authority of the Melech. The Torah sets up an authority figure called the Melech, and the Torah wants that we should listen to what the king has to say. If a person doesn't listen to the king, the nature of the Isser is not standing up when they're sitting down when the king said not to. And the nature of the Isser is not standing on your head. The nature of the Isser, the name of the Isser is being married the Melech. That's the name of the Isser. So the Chachma says the same is true when it comes to the Chachma Torah. When the Chachamim institute the Gzeira the Rabban and they say don't move Muktzah. If a person goes in and says, I don't care what the rabbi said, I want to move Muktzah anyway. So the nature of the Isser is not so much the moving Muktzah. That's the least of the problem. The nature of the Isser is the merit, the Chachmei HaTorah, that the Torah sets up the system, the authority system. Beis Din HaGadol says such and such, so we're supposed to listen to the words of Beis Din HaGadol. Well, Sosim called Davash Shagidachai Minus Mo. The person who doesn't listen is the Morid, the Chachmei HaTorah. That's the nature of the Isser. So therefore, come the Acharonim and say, that's why Suffolk the Rabbanim was Lakula. Why? Something there, right? From the chumrah means, and you have a piece of chazer in front of you. You're not sure if it's chazer or not chazer. You can't take a chance. You can't risk eating chazer because al tzadeh es chazer. You're eating poison. You're eating a spiritual poison. Bishalakum is not spiritually poisoned. Bishalakum. The reason why you can't eat bishalakum is because the chachamim saw fit to make the gzera of bishalakum. So if you go ahead and eat something which is for sure bishalakum, that's a morid b'chachmei Torah. There's no merit b'suffik. You can't have a revolution in a doubt. You can only revolt if you know what you're revolting about. If you're eating something which maybe is not bishalakum, so the reason why I'm eating it is because I think this is not what the chachamim said. So whenever you have a tzad to say that, well, the rabbi never offered this, so then in the chanamis, that's not considered to be the teres merit. That's basically what the achrenim say. So the yisod hadavar is that the nature of nisa d'rabbanan is such that the whole name of the game is the teres merit. Therefore, something d'rabbanan is the kula. So perhaps this is what the Nesivus is driving at as well. That why should it be that if a person does a chet b'shogeg, that you have to do tshuva? After all, it wasn't my fault. I didn't mean to do it. So the answer is, you're right. It wasn't your fault. But if you eat chazer b'shogeg, so chazer is intrinsically bad. Chazer is an isachavtza. So there is something spiritually wrong with what entered into your system. You're Michal Shabbos b'shogeg. You did some spiritual action that was wrong. There was something intrinsically wrong with what you did. True, you didn't mean it, and true, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not going to be obviously as angry as if you would have done it b'mezit, but sof, there's something detrimental about what you did, and you have to be misakin it. And the way to be misakin it, tshuva is misakin whatever spiritual negative impact that a chait had on the person's neshama, and the olam, and the olam azayon, and whatever you want to call it. But she ain't came by dinim derabanan, the whole principle doesn't get off the ground. By dinim derabanan, the nature of the Yisra is a mered, is to be pesheya, to be married against the Chachmei Torah. You can't be morid if you're not even sure what you were being morid about. It means if I did an aver b'shogi, I ate b'shalachim by mistake, I wasn't morid b'chachmei HaTorah because I didn't mean to be morid b'chachmei HaTorah. So the fact that now there's some terrible, horrible eggs inside my system, there's nothing wrong with the eggs. The eggs are perfectly okay. The only reason why the eggs are also is because the Chum said not to do it. But if the reason why I ate the eggs was not because I knew the Chum said this is also, so that's not considered to be b'teres merit. So the same reason why Safik Rabbanon was l'kula according to the Rabbah, notwithstanding the fact that the Rabbanons are like the Araises, because the nature of the Isra is b'teres merit, that's the same you say that the Nesivos are saying, that an Isra the Rabbanon b'shogeg doesn't get off the ground. So that's why the Rabbah Menuchas Mechira draws this distinction. If I sell somebody food which is traced in a Torah, so that's a serious problem, and then I have to give the money back. If I sell somebody food which is only traced from the Rabbanon, so it's Mishkefelach, so we ate the food, so the world won't come to an end. His neshama is just as good as it was beforehand. I didn't cause him any aggravation. He doesn't have to clap a chet, so he can go home free. So therefore, I get to keep my money. Because it's already over. He ate the food already. He enjoyed it. It was very good. The eggs were delicious. So you're right, it was in theory Mechatos, but he used it up already. So it's not free for me to have to go return the money. So this idea that the Rambam is developing, that the Nesivos is developing, that Isurim D'Rabbanan, the Shogeg, don't require tshuva, really has to be understood in light of a Gemara that appears in Masechet Chulin, on the back of the Ma'amar Kavos, the fourth of the Ma'amar Kavos. The Gemara tells the following story. The Gemara is talking about an Isur of Demai. We know that Minat Torah, so you have to be mafresh, trumas, and maisos, and things that grow in Eretz Yisrael. And there was a situation that developed in the days of Bayesheni, that although most of the people were in fact careful about being mafreshimus and ISIS, some people weren't as careful as they should be, and there existed that there was a minority of people who weren't careful with being mafresh certain of the ma'isos. So therefore the Chavim made a gezer across the board, you're not permitted to eat anything from an amaret, anyone who doesn't really have namanas in this area, anyone who's not so careful in halacha. So even if he tells you that he took off the proper shumas and ma'isos, you're not permitted to believe him. You have to buy your food after from chaverim, or you have to be mafresh the shumas and ma'isos, you have to mafresh the ma'isos yourself. So demai was prohibited in the rabbanim, but the Gemara says clearly he was only midrabbanon, because most people, even most of the not such religious farmers, the Gemara says, "Lamaisa what machped on tumas and maisa properly." So it was a meal, but probably came midrabbanon and made a gezerah. So the Gemara tells the following story: Rabbi Zeir, Rabbi Asi, Ikla ulafundika diyar. They once came to a certain inn. Aisul kamal beitzim ham tsumakos biayin. They were served eggs, which were some wine, an egg dish or something. So Rabbi Zeir la achav, Rabbi Asi achav. So Rabbi Zeir refused to eat it. Rabbi Asi ate it. Amar Rabbi Zeir, Rabbi Asi, lo chayish mal. How can you, Rav Asi, eat this? Aren't you afraid of the Isser of Demai? Because after all, the innkeeper probably wasn't an official chaver, so therefore anything that he tells you he was mafresh, he really can't believe him, and it was yayin. Yayin has to be mafresh, shumas, and maizes off of. So are you concerned you shouldn't eat these eggs because there was some Demai which was mixed into them, the tarovs of Demai? Amalei lava datai. He said, Gevalt, I didn't realize that I wasn't paying attention. In a chenam, he was talking a problem. So the Gemara continues, Amar Bizeira, Epsha Gozwa tarovs Demai, Mistaya Nilsa Derav Asa, Derav Asi Lamechli. Rabbi Zeir says, you know what? Maybe the Chavim never asked the Tarovas Dmai in the first place. Maybe the Yisad, the Rabbanon of Dmai, was only made on Dmai Be'en. If you have a real an apple that the Amaret is giving you, that's a problem. But if you have a little bit of wine that's mixed into a whole tafshul, so maybe B'chei Gabriel Logozru. So Rabbi Zeir says, Mestama, that's got to be that way. Mestama has to be that Tarovas Dmai was never asked. Why? Because if Tarovas Dmai would really be Yasser, it can't be the Rav Asi would have ended up falling in, would have ended up doing such a terrible Avera. Because we have a Klal Hashna Behemdan Shal Tzadikim in a Kadosh Baruch Hu, maybe Takal Al Yadon, Tzadikim from the Kosh again, the famous story of the Tichas Ben Yor's donkey, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu always is careful that a real true tzaddik doesn't fall in. I mean, the tzaddik doesn't end up doing an aveir in the shagig. So comes the Gemara and then goes to prove that in the Chidam, the attack of the Chum never goes on Tarovah's Dmai. So Lechover, this Gemara seems to contradict the whole Yisod of the Nesivos, because this Gemara says that it can't be that Rabbi Zeir would have ended up violating an Isser. Cannot be. But here we're only dealing with an Issa D'Rabbanan. It's only an Issa D'Mai, because Minat Torah D'Mai is not a prominent, or you can rely on the Rove. So it's only an Issa D'Rabbanan. What would have been so terrible if Rabbi Zeir, the head of the Tzalek, would have done an Issa D'Rabbanan B'Shogeg? Bishlama, Rabbi Zeir never would have fallen in and eaten the veil of B'Shogeg. That can't be. Ain't a Kaddish Baruch Hu, maybe to call all Yodim. Bishlama, Rabbi Zeir wouldn't have eaten Chazah B'Shogeg. Wouldn't have eaten Treif B'Shogeg. But to eat D'Mai B'Shogeg, what would have been the end of the world? According to the Nesivos, if you do an Issa D'Rabbanan B'Shogeg, it's not an Avera. It wasn't the Teres Merit. It's nothing to be worried about. So forget about it. So how about the Gemara get so riled up with the fact that Rabbi Zeir ate D'Mai through his B'Shogeg? So who cares? So the answer to this question is as follows, that there are different types of Isurim D'Rabbanan. when you're dealing with an issa derabbanan, like let's say bishalakam or something, so bishalakam can never be an issa deraisa. Now, no matter what you do, a goit can cook an egg from today till tomorrow, it's not, assuming you put treif ingredients into it, it's not going to be a treif egg min haTorah. So that issa, which is pure issa derabbanan, the Nesivus is right, the Rambam is right, but the nature of the issa is mered, and therefore, bishalgeg, just forget about it. But demai is a different type of an issa. Demai could potentially be deraisa. Means if it turns out that this amar taka was not mafresh, then the wine is treif min haTorah. The only thing is, min haTorah, you don't have to worry about that. Min haTorah, you're allowed to rely on the rov. 90% of the people are mafresh, so forget about it on a level of deraisa. But since it's a type of an issa derabbanan that can potentially be an issa deraisa, so maybe one could argue the chachamim formulated the issa derabbanan in the following manner. That's not only asur b'Torah's merit. That's asur intrinsically. Because the chachamim are saying, don't rely on the rov. You have no right to rely on the rov. You have to treat every piece of demai in front of you as being a real safek deraisa of tevel. Once it's a safek deraisa of tevel, even b'shogeg is going to be a problem. So lechora, based on this gemara, we have to tone down the yisod. So the nesivus's yisod is right. I'm willing to mask him to the nesivus's yisod. Yisurim derabbanan that we do b'shogeg, we don't have to be worried about. But only certain yisurim derabbanan. Any yisod derabbanan which was instituted because it could potentially be an yisod deraisa in certain limited circumstances, that would not be covered based on this gemara. Right, those are special coolers at the Chum. Yet when the Chum did, right, when the Chum decided not to institute the Yisod Rabbanan, then you rely on the Yisod, then you rely on the Din Deraisa. But whenever the Chum instituted the Yisod Rabbanan, it's more Chum than a regular Yisod Rabbanan.
This Yisod has to be something that could be coming off. What if it's covered in it, or like you would? That
lung
supply to
Basa? Yeah, I don't think so. I think that this is a special thing by demai, because demai is unique in the sense that it really could be deraisa. I mean, there's a 1 in 20 chance that it really could be deraisa. Rov damaratzba are maisa, do take off maisa. That's like a mir hamotzi or something, but that's only chum midrabban. Min haTorah, even that's okay. So this idea that basically, for at least for Yisurim Deraisa, we do have to be concerned with Averis B'Shogeg, and maybe Yisurim Derabanan are different. So we have to be careful in terms of defining what exactly constitutes Shogeg. Sometimes in English we say Shogeg is in unintentionally. So the word unintentional is a little bit misleading. There are different levels in halacha in terms of what constitutes real official shogeg. So comes the Rambam, the fifth of the Maimonides, and gives the following example. It's really paraphrasing a gemara that appears in Masechta Shavuos. Comes the Rambam with the following din. Habol ishto shelo b'shas vesta. Let's say a person's wife is not at the time of her vesta. That means she's at the time of her cycle and she's not expecting her period immediately. So the halacha does not require that the couple be poresh. If it's Samach Levesta, if she's expecting a period imminently, so then the halacha is the taka. Not allowed to be together. Stam, she just came back from the mikvah. So Rasa Dam B'Shas Tashmish. And it turns out the taka, lo and behold, she really sees Dam while they're having relations. So, in effect, they both of them violated Nisa Kares. Be able to need is Nisa Kares. So normally the rule is when you violate Nisa Kares B'Shogeg, so you have to be a Korban Chatos. So I would have said that there's a classic example of Shogeg. They didn't mean to do the Aveira, but Lamaisa, they violated the Asanida. So I would have said that they have to bring a Korban Chatos for that. So comes the Rambam, according to the Gemara, and Shavuos, and says, no, it's not true. Harei Eilu Pturin Mi Korban Chatos. They are not required to offer Korban Chatos. Why? Mipnei Shezek Anusu Felo Shogeg. Says the Rambam, that's not called Shogeg. That's called Onus. That is totally and completely not his fault. We have rule Onus Rechmana Patre. How, where do you draw the line? Why? What's called Shogeg? What's called Onus? So it comes around with the following Hagdara. Shah Shogeg, Hayelo Livdog, Uladakdeg, V'ilu Badak Yafe Yafe V'dikdach B'Sha'elos, Lo Hayabali De Shgaga. Like an example, classic example of Shogeg, like a Hilcha Shabbos. The Mishnah says in the Sefer Shabbos, there are two kinds of Shogeg in Shabbos. A person does a Malach on Shabbos. It turns on a line on Shabbos for one or two reasons. Either because he didn't know that you're not allowed to turn on a light on Shabbos, or he knew you're not allowed to turn on a light on Shabbos, excuse me, but he thought it was Tuesday, so he didn't realize that it was Shabbos. So those are two examples where if the person would have done just a little bit of research, if he would have gone through a Shabbos show, he would have learned you're not allowed to turn on lights on Shabbos, and if he would have bothered looking at the calendar, he would have noticed that it says Saturday in the calendar. So he didn't do his homework. So that's called Shogeg. So the Torah says that true b'shas ma'is aveira, you really didn't mean to do an aveira, but sof kol sof you were poshe, sof kol sof you were negligent, because you didn't learn enough, and sof kol sof you were negligent, you didn't do the research to find out what day of the week it was. So since lafish lo tarach b'dirisha v'chakira, v'chakach yasa tarach kapara, since the person didn't do the research, so therefore he requires a kapara. Aval, says the Rambam, zeh malalasas, What do you want from the person who's together with his wife, Shalo Bishaz Vesta, Hareta Hora Haisa, she was Muteres before him, the Shalo Bishaz Vesta Baal, Ein Zeh Onas. What in the world could he possibly have done to prevent this from happening? Bishaz Maisa, when they started talking, she was Muteres. The fact that Nina Shemaim, it turned out she became Asura in the middle, that's totally not his fault. Well, the Fikach, so therefore the Rambam says, Bein Shinim Tadam Aleit Shalo, Bein Shinim Tadam Shalo, Pturin, doesn't matter where the blood is on Hama, even if you know for a fact there was blood present Bishaz Maisa, says the Rambam, it's totally, completely out of their control. So the Rambam defines the difference between Ones and Shogeg, that Shogeg means true, you didn't intend to do the Avera. That is true, you didn't intend to do the Avera. But Lamaisa, you could have prevented the Avera. You could have checked the calendar, you could have learned the Chashan. Mashenken, Ones is an example where the Chalal was absolutely not the Yoncha to do anything to prevent the problem, since it was totally not expected to do anything. There was really nothing you could have logically done. So then you don't have to make a carbon as well. So this idea that this distinction that the Rambam based on Masechta Shavuos, when the Rambam draws a distinction between Shogeg in contrast to Ones, so this is not only true in terms of Karbanos, but this is true in terms of the mitzvah of Tshuva as well. In Shulchan Aruch and the Chasnida, this is quoted, not in terms of Karbanos, we don't have Karbanos anymore, but the Shulchan Aruch speaks about the Ramah, the long Ramah of Chasnida, that speaks about what does a person do if a person was Nichshol and Nisanida B'Shogeg. So the Ramah writes, a person has to do Tshuva for that. It's a Aveira, Chamur, B'Yosa, Nisakarez. So if a person was Nichshol and Nisanida B'Shogeg, so a person really has to do Tshuva. We'll leave out the gory details, how many Tanesim the Ramah tells, were interested. You can take a look, you lose a lot of weight. The Ramah tells how many Tanesim to fast for that. But then the post can point out that B'med Ramah Murim, that you have to do Tshuva for Nida B'Shogeg, that's only like the scenario where it was really B'Shogeg. Mash Enkem, it's the scenario that the Ramah was describing, where it was totally unearthed that she was Mamish Muteres B'Shaz Ma'isa, and then something happened in the middle. So the post can say you don't have to even do tshuva for that. So the same way the Rambam draws a distinction in Hilchos Karbanos that you bring a carbon for a shogeg, but you don't bring a carbon for an ones. So a dinami, there's a mitzvah tshuva for a shogeg, but there's no mitzvah tshuva for an ones. So even though we have a cloud that you have to do tshuva, at least for the derisus b'shogeg, you have to know the distinction between shogeg in contrast to ones. Then the Rambam tells us. There's another example in the sixth and last Nina Mekamos, which also, although at first glance, sounds like a person that's similar to Shogeg, is not really the same. Comes to Rambam, says as follows. Hashogeg below Kavana, the Arayos of Machos Asuros, Chayav Chatas, the Shabbos Potem Michatas. Rambam says, you can have a situation where a person is Shogeg, means he clearly was not planning on doing an Avera, on the other end it was below Kavana. He wasn't planning on doing the Maisa entirely. This is what the Gemara usually calls Misasek. Misasek means that Tachlis the Avera got done. And Tachlis, you were not planning on doing it. But it's fundamentally different than the classic Shogeg. Classic Shogeg means that I know full well I am turning on a light right now. What I don't know, I'm missing a piece of information that I should have researched. Namely, I don't know that it's Shabbos, or I don't know that it's also the turn on light. But I know 100% from beginning to end, I am involved in the action of turning on a light. That's called Shogeg. Misasek, let's say, a class example of Misasek, I walk into a room, I'm involved in walking into a room, and by mistake, my arm brushes against the light switch and the light turns on. So that's not even Shogeg. You know why that's not Shogeg? Because I wasn't planning on doing a myself turning on a light. I like a turn on. That's not my problem. That was Torah, that was pure Misasek. So comes the Rambam and says, this cloud that Misasek is potter from Karmel Chatzis, the Gemara derives from a Pasuk. There are two exceptions to this rule, based on the Gemara Masechus Krisos. One is in the realm of Arayos, and one is in the realm of Machalos Asuro. So what does this mean? So comes the Rambam and describes the following. Ketzer. Hayim Misasek in Isho Bala, Balo Kavanah Le'ilah. That if a person was involved with a woman, and he was not planning on having Bia, and whatever Maisa Bia happened, he didn't realize what was going on. So Harei Erva Lovin. The Maisa, she's a woman who's an Issachar to him, or the example in Machalos Asuros, Dima Shezesh Yevapiv Roku Ubalo Belo Kavan L'Shem Achila Ba'olam. So a person thought he had spit in his mouth, had saliva in his mouth, and he thought it was saliva, he didn't realize that it was really chaylev, and he swallowed the saliva, so he wasn't planning on doing a Ma'is Achila. Swallowing spit is not called a Ma'is Achila, you're allowed to swallow your saliva in Yom Kippur, according to most poskim, so it's not considered to be, we assume that way, we hope, so we assume that that's not called a Ma'is Achila. So he wasn't planning on doing a Ma'is Achila. In the case of the Tashmish, he wasn't planning on doing a Ma'is Abiyah, but so of course it happened to Harayu Chaylev. So comes the Gemara and Kriso says, Harayu Zechayev Chatas. So then and only then Yechayev Korban Chatas, in those two areas of Halacha, that's what the Gemara says, Mesasek Bechalobim Varayis Chayev Shekein Nehene. Those are the exceptions to the rule. since tachlis, the person enjoyed the chaylev, since the ma'aseh, the person got the hanoah from the bia, so that's considered to be chayev, notwithstanding the fact that it's misasik. However, what about in other areas of alachotei nechashabes, miskaven lag bias atavosh, v'chotach asa mechuba below kavan lechatichas apotah. Let's say, I see something lying on the ground, and I think it's an apple that's just laying on the floor, and I pick it up, and I don't realize, an apple's a bad example, okay, so it'll be grown on a tree. Okay, say a carrot. The carrot, I think it's laying on the floor, and I didn't realize it's still connected to the ground, and I'm picking it up, and then lo and behold, gavalt, as I do it, I realize, gavalt, I just ripped something out of the ground. So that would normally be an issur of kotzer there. So I would have said, you just did kotzer b'shoga, you have to be in carbon chatos. So comes the Rambam, quoting the Gemara in Krizim, says you don't have to. Why? Because you didn't have kavan al chatichaso. You didn't even realize you were doing the act of chaticha. This is much better, in a sense, than the person who turned on the light b'shoga. The guy who turns on the light b'shoga, he knows what he's doing. He's fully aware from beginning to end that he's turning on a light. He just doesn't know what Shabbos, he doesn't know you're not allowed to turn on a light here. You didn't even realize you were doing that act of the ma'isa itself. So then you're totally potter. Malachas machshavas asher terech lo shebi'adamim kamo. That's what I call malachas machshavas. Malach on Shabbos means that you do things knowledgeable, constructive, you're aware of what you're doing. This is not considered to be a malach, and therefore there's no need to bring a carbon for this. This is important also. We sometimes run into these shadows. That person wakes up, so in the middle of the night, and Friday night, person shpatzias over to the bathroom. The process of he flips on the light. So it depends, what's pshat? You have to, it's a very dachatika question. What exactly took place? He flipped on the light when he walked in the bathroom and was half asleep. Is pshat that he knew he was turning on a light, but he just forgot that it was Shabbos? Is that the pshat? Or if you would stop him, b'shas ma'aseh, he doesn't even know he's turning on a light. He's still snoring. He doesn't even realize what's going on b'chlal. So that's a very, very dachistic question. If the answer to that question is the first question, the first way, that he knows what he's doing, but he just forgot that it's Friday night, so that's a korban chatos. That's got to write down in his little notebook, the Gemara says, or if you violate Shabbos b'shoy, you got to keep a track how many kavanos you're going to bring Meheri Rabbanah Mikdash. If the guy was flipped on the light by mistake, it was less than shagig. He didn't even aware that he was turning on the light. This happens all the time. Even if you're not in the middle of the night, sometimes you walk into a room and just by reflex you turn the light and you didn't even realize what you were doing until it was over. So some person, that's also called misasek. That's not even called it wasn't a pre-planned act whatsoever. That's closer to the case of misasek. So this one just went off. This table call just went off. So even though at first glance, misasek, shogeg, what's the difference? No, there's a tremendous difference. That shogeg means you're aware of an action, you're just not aware of the ramifications of the action. And misasek, you're not aware of the action altogether. There is a major machlekes, the Gedolei Acharonim, about this klal of misasek. The Gemara learns out from Sukkim that misasek is potter from a korban chatos. So we said before, let's say in the case of oneh, the example that we gave before, you're potter from a korban chatos from oneh, so the post can say, just as you're potter from korban chatos, you don't have to do tshuva for either. So we've been equating, all along we've been saying, for shogeg, you bring a korban, so therefore you do tshuva. For oneh, you don't bring a korban, therefore you don't have to do tshuva. What about misasik? The person didn't aver misasik, not chelev and arayis, that's those are the yotzim in a klal. Chul Shabbos, other averis, a person had no idea what was going on, and he ended up, lo and behold, he fell in, and an aver happened, derech misasik. So true, there's no korban chatos. Does that mean that you don't have to do tshuva, it's mamish nothing? Or do you say, no, maybe we can distinguish and say, misasik is a ptur from karbanos. The Torah doesn't come down that hard on you to be a karban, because sof, you weren't really aware of what you were doing. Masha Einkein, in terms of tshuva, ma'isa fell in, ma'isa something happened, so maybe you should be required to do tshuva. So this was a big machlokes, the Gedolei Acharonim, between Rabbi Kivager and the Nesivos. What's the halacha? Is misasik considered to be a ma'isa avera just as a ptur from karbanos? Or is misasik not considered to be a ma'aseh aver altogether? So comes with Kivager and says that even though he personally felt against the nesivos, he thought that misasik is considered to be a ma'aseh aver. If you fell in and did something, even though you weren't planning b'chlal, you do have to do tshuva. Says with Kivager, there's an exception to that rule. And the exception to that rule is in the realm of Chol Shabbos. Why? Because the Rambam concludes over here, Malechas Machshevas Aser Torah. When it comes to Shabbos, so Malechas Machshevas is part and parcel, it's an integral definition of what Chol Shabbos is. Chol Shabbos means to do something constructive with a full thought, to hold the proper frame of mind. That's Chol Shabbos. anytime you do melacha on Shabbos lacking melachas machsheves, so it's not just prat that we're not going to hold you responsible. That's not chilul Shabbos. That by definition is not chilul Shabbos. Let's say, for example, I don't know, shatnez or something. If somehow you were planning on picking up a suit of shatnez and someone fell onto you and now you're wearing it, so then you can argue, says Rabbi Kivega, maybe you did an avera. Maybe true, you don't have to, no korban chatas that anyway, but maybe you have to do tshuva on that, because maybe misasek is still labeled as a ma'is avera. Now, in the realm of chilul Shabbos, it's not shayach to call misasek a ma'is avera, because by its very definition, chilul Shabbos means malachas machsheves asur Torah. That's what the Kivega's Pshara. He writes that in other areas of Allah, he thinks the Nesivos is not right. He thinks you do have to do tshuva. Chilul Shabbos is masking that you don't have to do tshuva. So, ma'is shahoya, didi have uvda, kachaya. It happened when I was, I was a teenager, so I used to, the shul I used to daven at, so they used to start Yom Kippur, I don't know, 8 o'clock in the morning. So I used to always feel bad, you know, start davening at 8 o'clock in the morning. What are you going to do from 6 to 8? You're supposed to get Ira Shachis, get up early in Yom Kippur, spend the whole day in Tshuva and Mitzvahs. So I used to always have a minute, I used to always get up early on Yom Kippur. And I really learned for an hour, 2 hours. You don't learn that much in Yom Kippur anyway, so it's chop around a little bit of learning before davening. So good. So one year, I woke up early, and it was the Yom Kippur Shechalios B'Shabbos. And like many people have the minute, they light a lot of Yurtzeit candles, the Erev Yom Kippur. So my parents also had that minute, so there were loads and loads of Yurtzeit candles all sitting on the table. And I woke up, and I went to get dressed, I went to get a sefer from the shelf, and I started to walk past the table. And by walking past the table, my foot kicked against the table, and shook the table, and so 10 of the Yurtzeit candles blew out. I remember I was devastated. It was Yom Kippur Shechelos B'Shabbos. So I started to add up the carbon chatas. That's 10 times Shabbos times Yom Kippur. That's 20. I said, hit the big bucks over here. Jackpot. So I had such a chalisha tadas. So I remember I came to shul. And right before davening, I went over to Rabbi Willen and I told him the story. So he said to me, very, very cryptically, he said, Machlokes the Chavos Das and Rabbi Kivega, and Rabbi Kivega's Moide Bechilul Shabbos, that it's okay. I don't think I knew what he was talking about, but about 10 years later I realized that's what he meant. That was Masasa, because I was walking. I wasn't planning on blowing out a candle. Not that I forgot it was Yom Kippur. I was up early in the morning. I knew it was Yom Kippur. I was trying to walk past the table, and I kicked and did a malach of kibui on 10 candles, times two. So 20 carbon chattas is, I don't have to bring for sure not a carbon chattas, because the Masasa is taught from carbon. Is it a ma'isaveira? So the Chavos Das kind is that maybe it's not a ma'isaveira altogether. The Kivega says in other areas of Allah, it is a nice avera, but a chilul Shabbos and Yom Kippur is the same as Shabbos in the sense of, because in order to mechal Yom Kippur, you also need melechas machsheves asr Torah. There's one rishon that seems to say maybe they did a melechas machsheves only by Shabbos, not by Yom Yom Kippur. But Baruch Hashem, I don't think we pass it that way. So for chilul Yom Kippur, for chilul Shabbos, melechas machsheves asr Torah, that's part and parcel of the definition. So kuliyam lo pligi that misasik is mamash a garnish. So misasik is a garnish. You don't even have to add to my list of alchets. So I had my share of alchets that year, but I didn't add the other 20. Knock it up to 20. So that's not considered to be a ma'is avera altogether, at least around the chilul Shabbos. So kol panim, the basic klal is that shogeg requires tshuva. Person has to do tshuva for chet b'shogeg also. But in the realm of the Rabbanan, the Nesivos had his chiddush that maybe the Rabbanan is indifferent. We question whether that's true by all the Rabbanan. There are some who disagree with the whole Nesivos, as you say. That's also true. And then even within the Raises, which do require tshuva for chet b'shogeg, you have to be very, very careful to define what's called shogeg and what's not called shogeg. Onus is not shogeg. And how do you define illness? That's the realm of distinction between what you could have done research and what you couldn't have. It was beyond the realm of doing research for. And then the issue of misasek, which may have differences in other areas of Allah, but at least in the realm of chilul Shabbos, is totally patur from tshuva.
When the Ram talks about abavishlei shloim shavdes, and it says that that's considered illness, but then it gives the example of a shogeg, but it really looks like it's amazing.
But it's only amazing that he violated the yisur of preacher Samach Leveses, but
he didn't. He knew that.
No, but he thought he was going to chat before she became an ida. So he has to do tshuva for violating the mezid the aver of his atom of snake. Let me tell. That's true, but that's the rabbanon. Maybe they're right, but it's not an occurrence for sure not. Masha Ein Kain, the fact that he.
Just because why did he bring a carbon? There's no
charge. No, he showed it on the yisur nida. He was mezid on the yisur of preacher Samach Leveses, but there's no carbon on that. That's either derabanan or deraisa, but karis for sure it's not. If a person violates the din of preacher Samach Leveses, then shitaka is not a nida.
No, but I'm asking, doesn't shogeg mean some chesar in yidia? What chesar in yidia do you have?
So this is, you're right, it's not a chesar, it's a funny type of shogeg. It's, because you can't apply the principle of onus because he shouldn't have been doing what he was doing, so therefore, right, so therefore the male by default becomes shogeg. Right, right. So it's a unique type of a shogeg. There was no real chisoyin in the year, right, 100%. Right, it's a strange type of a shogeg. Right. So hopefully we should be zeichah. The Gemara says that on Yom Kippur, so ki chashalta b'avinecha, that the person does shuvah meyira, so this donus is not the shkagah. So the person does shuvah me'ava, so it gets to be zechuyah. So that's what the Mefarshim say. First you go to Yom Kippur, so you, that's shuvah meyira, the Yom Adin. So you go from Mezit to Shogeg, and then chapra into Sukkah, so shuvah me'simcha, mitach ava. So whatever was left of Shogeg turns into zechuyah. So we hopefully whatever, there's no mitzvah to go run to do more averus these days to get more zechuyah later, but whatever's on the cheshbon anyway. Anyway, so hopefully in prayer we'll be able to knock it down a notch on Yom Kippur, and hopefully by Sukkot we'll be able to be ahead of it again. This is what Gemachti Mitzvah. Are we, what's the next week? Are we on for next week? Or next week regular? Okay, good. Good. That's Mitzvah.